Welcome to Lending Forward, a podcast where we're lending every bit of what we know to our listeners. From real conversations and lessons learned deep within the industry to education and forward thinking. Together, we're lending forward. And as always, don't forget to subscribe to our channels and connect with us on www.atlanticbay.com. Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group, LLC, NMLS number 72043, NMLSConsumerAccess.org is an equal opportunity lender located at 600 Lynn Haven Parkway, Suite 203, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23452.
Welcome back to another episode of Lending Forward. I am ridiculously excited about this episode. I feel like I'm fangirling a little bit about our guest today. We have Larry Kendall on with us. He is the founder and author of Ninja Selling, and we also have our Senior Vice President of Business Development, Bill Hitchcock, with us to have a conversation all around ninja selling, all around being purposeful in our day-to-day activities. So,
Before we get kicked off here, Hannah, we have to say welcome back to you as well. Hannah coming back from maternity leave, and it seems like it was just yesterday, but welcome back.
Thanks. Yep. I have a 2-month-old today, which is crazy, which is why I have the headphones on. He's here. So yeah, if you guys hear backgrounds, he's in a different
room. Maybe he'll make a guest
with
appearance.
A babysitter, but just in case there's, I hope not. He's made a guest appearance at a couple meetings. I hope he stays away from this one, but yes, Cooper joined our family 2 months ago, which we are super excited about, but yeah. So let's talk ninja selling. Bill and I are proud ninja graduates. For those listeners that are not familiar with ninja selling, Larry, do you want to give us a little background on what is ninja selling? How did you start ninja selling and kind of where it's grown? I know it was born back in the 90s and it's just taken off.
You bet, Hannah. Thank you for inviting me on your program. It's a pleasure to be here. And Bill, it's great to be with you. A little background. This is actually my 50th year in real estate. I started in 1973. Airdropped into Fort Collins, Colorado. Didn't know anybody. I was trying to get started in real estate. Experimented with a system for selling that worked for me, and then I started training other people in our office. And one day I got a phone call from Steve Murray at Real Trends telling us that he was tracking all the real estate companies in America, and ours was the most productive and in terms of transactions per associate. And would I come to Dallas and share how we did it? And when I did that, people started saying, well, how do you get that level of production? And I said, well, I can show you. And that led then to being in the training business and the class called Ninja Selling. And I named Ninja Selling after one of the associates in our company who had the highest income per hour of anybody I'd ever worked with. And his nickname was the Ninja. And so that's kind of where it came from. But the goal of Ninja Selling is to help realtors, or now we're finding anybody in sales, to increase their income per hour so they can have a life. That's basically the idea of it. Earlier, you talked about being on purpose. We are very much believers in being on purpose and providing a system that you can follow that will give you predictable results. And if you do that, you can be on purpose. You can get up in the morning and know exactly what to do because you're going to get results, and you can be on purpose in your business and in your life.
And I think I'm going to speak for myself, but I think Bill would attest to it, is going through the course of ninja selling and learning the morning routine and starting your morning off with gratitudes and with, you know, thank you cards and things like that. Getting off on that positive morning schedule really sets the tone for the rest of the day. One thing I love about ninja selling, and I think it's actually on your website and I was looking for it, is the abundance philosophy, if you will. I think in today's environment, there's a lot of realtors and a lot of loan officers that are negative and scared of what's happening. So how are ninjas different in this environment?
What a great question, Hannah. You know, in the market that we're in right now, depending on the market, every market's unique, but what I'm seeing is most markets are in number of transactions are down 20% to 30%. Some a little bit more, some a little bit less, but let's just use that number. Ninjas would look at that and say, well, what that says is the glass is 70 to 80% full. So I think in 2021, we set a record for over 6 million home sales. This year will probably be somewhere between 4 million and 4.5 million. So we're going to be, you know, at, you know, maybe 70% of the record high in history. So the glass is 70% full. And so we need to focus on that. That business is being done. Somebody's doing it. How do we do it? How do we find that business? I think one of the, well, a couple of things that have happened. One is most of the what I call the discretionary buyers are sitting on the sidelines right now, squatting on their 3 or 4% mortgage. But what's in the market are the people who have a compelling reason to move. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of change going on in their lives. There's a lot of change going on in the economy, in the market. And that group is still very active, and that's the 70% that we need to focus on.
Larry, you make it sound almost too simple, right? When you're saying it's like, okay, it's 75% half full. You said you've been in this business, I think, since 73. So you've definitely got to see kind of like the ups and downs of the market and have lived through and worked through some of the toughest times in our industry. So what is it? What's the disconnect? Why can't we get everybody to see that people are, you know, there is going to be not just the American dream, but there's that dream of home ownership. So people are always going to want to buy a home. So pretty much there's always a good market. What's the disconnect? Why can't we get people, agents, loan officers, everybody to kind of see it that way?
Well, I think we're starting to see it now. I think a lot of, when rates started to go up in March of 2022, I think a lot of people thought there was going to be some sort of temporary, market slow down, and that there would be a bounce and we'd be back. And now they're realizing that real estate markets really are fairly long and slow as far as the trends, and that we may be in this for a while. I think now we're starting to adjust to that. We also, 74% of the realtors, I'm not sure what percentage of the loan officers, I would guess pretty similar, have been in our industry since 2010. So they've never really experienced a down market. They don't really know how to adjust or what to do. And they're learning that now. There are certain things you have to do different in a market. You mentioned I've been in the business 50 years. I went through the 1980, 81, 82 market with the 20% prime rates and the 16, 70% mortgage rates. Went through the Great Recession of 2008, 9, 10, all of that. And unfortunately, there aren't very many people who've been through those markets and don't know really what to do. But they're learning. And I think that's the adjustment that's being made right now. We call this the big shift. People have to make this shift in how they do their business. You ask about, well, how can I make it sound so simple that the glass is 70 to 80% full? If you look at people's lives, and you know this because you guys are ninjas, you've been through the class, there's four core areas of people's lives. There's their family and friends. There's their occupation or career. There's what they do for fun, their recreation, and then there's their hopes and dreams. They want to live in a certain type of house or a certain neighborhood or a certain school district. And those are the four drivers of real estate. And those are the core values of most people. And when there's a change in one of those areas, it's going to affect their real estate typically. And that goes on. And so I always like to say there's always a real estate market. Because I'm hearing some now, there's just no market. At these rates, there's just no market. No, right. Wait a minute. There is a market. And I saw the other day, I think nationally we're selling 12,000 homes in the United States an hour, something like that. I mean, there is a market, okay? Mm-hmm. So quit complaining and let's go find the market and let's be a part of it.
I love that. And I think you're so right. And thinking of the big shift, I think, you know, if we're looking back at 2020, 2021, most realtors, most loan officers got in that transactional mindset, if you will. You know, business was just coming in. You didn't really have to do much to close a loan, where now that relationship is really the driver, and building those relationships, maintaining those relationships, and really staying on top of your database, staying on top of your referral sources, things like that. Are you seeing these types of things? I know you guys, I don't want to say you preach on relationships, but it's founded on the principle of relationships and listening to your client and actually serving your client. So talk to me a little bit about that big shift from transactional to relational.
Beautiful, Hannah. That's really the core, I think, of a person's business, and really important in the market that we're in right now. You know, I mentioned, I can't remember on that, going back to that 12,000, if that's 12,000 a day or 12,000 an hour, I'd have to look at that. But take 4.5 million and divide by 365 and you would have it. But your point is that the market was so good for so long, people got caught up in the transactions and they were very transactional oriented. And there's really two parts to this business. One part is doing the business, doing the transactions. The other part, the second part, is generating the business. And a lot of people never learned how to generate the business. The business was just there. They just had to show up and do the business. Or if they were an old timer that knew how to generate business, those skills had atrophied over the last, you know, since 2010, especially in the 2020, 2021 market. And so now we're having to get back at it. What I'm seeing is the people who are having great years, the one thing that they have is that they have these great relationships. They maintained those relationships during that hot market. They didn't let those relationships atrophy. They didn't focus on transactions. They focused on relationships. And earlier we talked about Ford, you know, family, occupation, recreation, dreams. These are the drivers. How do you know what's going on in somebody's life with their family? What's going on with their business? Well, it's called relationship. If you know their Ford, you know their relationship, and you're picking up on the subtle cues of the changes that are going on in their lives. And so the relationship right now is very important. It's very difficult, I think, to, when the market is in a pullback, to start then, I need to start developing relationships. You can do that, and you have to start sometime, but the people who already have those relationships, they're continuing to roll in this market. And I think that's the basic difference. The old saying is, dig your well before you're thirsty. And, you know, people are now trying to dig a well, you know, well, you know, it's better to do it now than not do it. But, you know, relationships are really important. If I could mention one other thing, Hannah and Bill, on relationships, I'd like to share a study that was done by Adam Grant. Adam is a professor of business at the Wharton School of Business. He wrote a book called Give and Take, and I would recommend that book. His question in his research study was, what is the winning strategy in business? And what he found was there's three core strategies. One strategy is the givers, who create value. One strategy is the takers, who extract value. And one strategy is the matchers, who exchange value. And which strategy do you think was the most effective? Any idea?
I would say the exchange.
That's all I was going to say.
Exchanger, okay.
The giver.
Or the giver. Interestingly, in the short run, the most effective strategy was the taker.
Mm. Oh.
People who are really good at extracting value. And that,
we were both wrong.
I think ties into the transaction mindset. People who are really good at the transaction and extracting value from the transaction, they were the most successful in the short run. But what was the problem in the long run?
Well, you don't have the relationship at that. You just extracted the value and then you move on.
Right. You get a reputation of being a taker. people
that
start
just
to
sounds like a bad reputation.
Yeah.
You don't want to be
so,
that person.
So people start shying away from you. You know, it's all about the transaction. It's not about the relationship. So they start to shy away. The winning strategy in the long run was the giver. Somebody who's really good at creating value in people's lives, really good at helping them go from the life they have to the life they dream about. That was the winning strategy in the long run. And givers are the ones who create relationships. Now, the matchers did fairly well, not as good as the givers, but they did fairly well. But the problem with being a matcher, if you're too much of a matcher, that is, I'll give to you if you give to me, it really isn't a relationship. It's more of a ledger.
Right.
People feel like you're keeping score somehow. And so, again, I think the loan officers, the realtors, anybody in sales who has created value for people, who understands their core values, their Ford, if you will, has built those relationships, they're doing fine in this market. And they may not be having their best year ever, although some of them are, but they're really capturing that 70 to 80% of the glass that's half full.
That's fantastic. And I think for me, when I'm thinking matcher, I'm thinking more kind of connector, but definitely the way that you kind of walk through it and show each part, you can see why it's about the giver. And you know, right now I'm sure that you have talked to your group, and as Ninja works with other companies on trying to kind of help everyone level up, I think a big part right now is everyone doing that self-assessment. And I know that you talk a lot about that in the installations, and you know, we love that you call them installations versus training courses or anything like that. How are you looking at it right now for the need for everyone to kind of invest in their, you know, invest in themselves and level up their kind of their skill sets?
Great. Yeah, you know, the three keys to success in any market and in life is really mindset, skill set, and actions. And so I think on the mindset side of it, the self-assessment, you know, am I focused on scarcity or abundance? Am I focused on the 20% that's empty, or the 70 or 80% that's full? I think that's important. Am I acting like a player or a victim right now? You know, what's my mindset? Am I starting my day with the Ninja Five? You know, starting my day with gratitudes and affirmations. Gratitudes put me in a positive energy state. Affirmations remind me of my goals. You know, writing notes, time blocking your day and your week, you know, focusing on your hot list and your warm list. I mean, starting the most important hour of your day is the first hour. And so getting off on the right foot with your mindset is very important. Skill set, I think there's different skills in this particular market. Again, dusting off your skill set with regard to how you help people buy a home. You know, in the mortgage area, understanding pre-tax and after-tax interest rates and pre-tax and after-tax payments, understanding buy-downs, understanding, you know, all the different products and how to help people still be able to move on with their lives. I think we're starting to see a shift now. I think a lot of buyers are realizing that rates are probably not going to be back to the 2.9% and that maybe, you know, they need to move on with their life, that in the end it's all about the memories and their family, and you know, are they got their kids that want to be in that school because it's maybe academics or maybe it's athletics, and maybe that school has a reputation for winning championships. And are they going to fast forward, you know, 7-8 years from now and say, well, you know, our kids could have played on that championship team, but we were squatting on our 4% mortgage at the time. You know, I mean, I think people are starting to make that shift now and realizing they need to move on with their lives. And then I think the last thing is on actions. What are the actions that you need to do to again, generate business and build relationships? And, you know, that gets into the whole Ninja 9 the nine activities, five daily activities, which is your morning routine, four weekly activities, which is what really generates business and generates and builds relationships.
I love that. I love it so much. And I think you're right. The skill set of, and it all ties in together, but the skill set or having the skill to have that conversation with your relationships and knowing, okay, you know, did you have a baby? What does your family look like? What, did you change jobs? Are you moving for your job? You know, what do you, what are your dreams for your family? Because at the end of the day, you know, I'll just tell you, I'm a 36-year-old with three kids. Like, I'm not going to be in this home forever. We're going to outgrow this house pretty quickly. And so I would hope that my mortgage banker is, you know, having these conversations with me on an annual basis so that when, you know, that time does come, they know, I know, my realtor knows it's okay. Like, it's up to, I just need my mortgage payment here. The interest rate doesn't matter as much as, you know, the life that I want to live. But I think it, the skill set and the conversations do, it matters. I do want to go back though to the mindset, because I think in this industry, especially now, the mindset is still, it's a struggle. Bill and I see it every day, and
it's fragile.
You know, we can,
it's fragile.
It's hard to maintain it. And, you know, we do know that that's key. And I feel like Bill and I talk about mindset every single day, but we do have, you know, we have some mortgage bankers that are having their best year or their best months, and they're doing all of the things. And then, you know, you have some that are having their worst year and their worst months. In markets like this, where, you know, you're, we're seeing how so many realtors get out of the business, so many loan officers get out of the business, we know there is a group that wants to stay in. They just don't, they don't, they're not putting the pieces together. They don't know what to do. What would you say to those people? How are you guiding that group to say, okay, here's where you start. This is how you start your day, and this is what your day should look like. And, you know, how do you kind of coach them up?
Great question. And I think with loan officers really have two clients. They have obviously their borrowers, but they also have the realtors. And I think it's important right now for them to know who the realtors are that are really doing the business, and to get close to them and to build relationships with them, and to come to them and say, would you like to sit down and brainstorm through your hot list? And maybe I can help you convert some potential buyers that are on your hot list into transactions, or would you like to sit down and brainstorm through your listings? One of our loan officers sat down with one of the realtors. The realtor was about ready to ask the seller for a $30,000 price reduction. And the loan officer sat down and said, look, let me show you how we could do a buy down. It would cost them a lot less money, and I think it would be more appealing to a buyer. And it was, and they sold that house. And it was because that loan officer took the initiative to say, I noticed that that listing hasn't sold. Would you like for me to sit down and let's brainstorm. Let's see what we can do. Let me help you problem solve that. I think that's where it's at today, is being more proactive with that. I think the mindset piece, the mindset of there's a business there, I need to find it. Who's doing the business? How can I help them do that business? The morning routine, starting your day right with you know, being grateful. You say, what do I have to be grateful for? There's no market. Yeah, be grateful that there's a 70% glass half full. Be grateful that you live in America. You know, be grateful that there's people doing the business. Find out who those people are. Get close to them. How can I help you do that business? I think, you know, that's the key right now. And, you know, again, building those relationships with the top producers, knowing who they are. Now, what's really interesting is we've got top producers. People who were top producers in 2 years ago are deer in the headlights right now, too.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We're seeing that in real estate, you know, and they were transactional.
I'm glad you touched.
They were just churning and burning.
I'm glad you went that route, Larry, and I want you to kind of continue on it. But there was one stat that I saw that ties into Hannah's question and the path that you're on right now. Was that NAR said that or reported that 60,000 agents had left the real estate community just this year, and that was I think that was reported in May of 2023. So as you're kind of like stay on this path here to on the real estate world, like what are they experiencing? Like you said, you go from being a top person 1 year, and now you're kind of deer in the headlights.
Yeah, and I think that 60,000, I expected a bigger number than that. We were forecasting probably there would be a 250,000 drop. But I think what happened, a lot of people left mentally and just left their bodies behind. You know, they kept their license active, but they're really not in the business that much. So I think there's a certain amount of, of that. Bill, based on the history, the market cycles that I've been through, in a normal market, and very seldom in 50 years have we had a normal market, but let me describe a kind of a normal market would be where you have adequate inventory. You probably have 5 or 6 months of inventory. You've got buyers, so the economy's good. There's employment, so people are wanting to buy. They got houses to buy. And you have reasonable interest rates. That would be what I would call a great market, a normal market. Pretty much the production you'll find is a bell-shaped curve. So if you took the production in a loan in a mortgage company or in a real estate company, you'll have a bell-shaped curve. So you got your really high producers up at one end, you got your newbies or beginners, rookies at the other end, and then you have a lot of people in the middle. What happens when the market shifts like this is it hollows out the middle. And you end up with a bimodal distribution. You end up with a small group at the top end that are just killing it. They wonder what all this is about. What are people talking about, the market being down? They're not experiencing it. And then you have this larger group that are really struggling. They're at the other end. And what's interesting is many of the ones who are struggling in the hot market were top producers. They were making $300,000-$500,000 a year. Now they're flatlining, and they're scared, and they're trying to figure out what happened, and how do I make the shift over to the? I want to be in that other group. I want to be in that other pack. Okay, what do I need to do? We've studied this in our company ever since 1980, 81, 82, that market, and there's a solution. And the solution for them is called, and this sounds overly simple, but the solution for them is called Ninja 9. And what we do is we just get them started on Ninja 9 and hold them accountable. And historically, they will, within about 30 to 45 days, they will start to move their business. Within a year, their business will be up an average of 68%. And we've studied it in our company. We've studied it in other companies, and that's the solution. So back to Hannah's point about starting the day right. I'm going to quickly go through the Ninja 9.
I was hoping you would. If you weren't, I was going to ask for it.
Five daily habits. Number one, get up in the morning and give thanks. Maybe even have a gratitude journal. But write down what you're grateful for, and focus on what your goals are, your affirmations. Number two, time block your day and your week. Okay, take your to-do list and schedule it. Number three, write 2 personal notes. Most powerful thing you can send to another person. What I'm seeing is top producers right now are recalibrating. The market's down 20%. They don't want their business to be down 20%. They're not writing 2 notes a day. They're writing 5 to 10. Are you with me? They're amping it, okay? Number four, focus on your hot list. This is a list of people that want to buy or sell in the next 90 days. And ask 2 questions. Number one, who's ready to write a contract? Who's ready to go? That should be my top priority today. Number two, what is the next step for them in the process? If they're not ready to go today, what do they need to do next to help them? In many cases, if they're a buyer, they want to buy, but they haven't been in to meet with a loan officer to get the process started, to get pre-approved. That would be the next step for them. Okay, so those four. And then number five is your warm list. These are people that want to buy or sell, but probably in the next year. And they may not even know they want to buy or sell. Hannah just had a baby. Right now, she's focused on the baby. But you know what? That's an addition to their family. And that might mean there needs to be a move sometime in the next year. I would have Hannah on my warm list. And I would be checking in periodically. How's the new baby? How's it going with that? So that's the morning routine, those five areas. Then you set up a time once a week, time block it to do the four weekly activities. Activity number six is your client service calls. Calling all of your under contract buyers, all of your active buyers, all of your, if you're a loan officer, giving updates on the loans, et cetera. Anybody that's referred you business, calling them to give them an update on the referral, to thank them for the referral. Taking care of your clients, take care of your clients, the clients will take care of you. Habit number six, your client service calls, is your greatest source of new business, your greatest source of referrals. Habit number seven is doing two real estate reviews a week. As a loan officer, it would be mortgage reviews. Again, I'm watching people amp this. They're not doing two a week. They're doing five. They're doing more. Okay. Habit number eight is what we call your 50 live, being in 50 live interviews a week. These are not sales calls. These are interviews where you ask forward questions and you listen for change. You listen for changes in their core area. I see Hannah at a game. I say, hey, Hannah, how's it going? Well, we just had a baby. I'll make a note of that. Warm list. You probably saw the research. 55% of the people who bought a home during the pandemic regret their decision.
Oh, God. Now,
when that first came out, there was so much upset within the real estate industry, they replicated that study twice and discovered that it was really closer to 62%. So what I'm recommending right now is everybody that you sold a house to during the pandemic, put them on your warm list. They're probably in a house they hate. They are probably going to want to do something at some point. Okay. At some point, they're going to get comfortable with rates and they're going to want to, or they're going to have a change in their business. But 50 live interviews is habit number eight. And then habit number nine is to update your database. Make sure it's up to date. Do that once a week to update your database. So the Ninja Nine Habits is core right now. And what I'm seeing is the people that are doing that are rocking and rolling. They're doing fine. And I would encourage you, if you're not doing it, start. And within 30 to 45 days, you'll be rocking and rolling as well.
That's fantastic. And just two quick things. I think, you know, number one, Hannah's probably going to get a number of calls from our mortgage bankers later.
Yes. Don't call me. I have one.
To see when she's ready to find.
And she does check.
Yeah,
in.
To find the next home.
And you have a relationship with her, right, Hannah?
Yeah.
And then I think number two, I love how you kind of how you go through it, and it does seem simple, but like with anything, you have to put the time in, and you have to make the effort, the conscious kind of commitment. And I'm sure you'd agree. I give up sugar once a day. I keep saying, I'm going to give up sugar today, and I start over tomorrow. But I keep trying each day. But I think that's one of the keys that when I went through the installation was just the talk of making that commitment. And maybe you don't start off with all nine, but you do start by adding some, you know, adding a piece and then getting good at it and then adding the next piece. And sooner or later, you've done all the nine and you look back and you say, okay, well, how has that impacted not just my work life, but how's it, you know, impacted my home life, my life out in the community. And I think that's one of the phenomenal things that, you know, that Ninja's done. Is taking all of the great information that's out there. I know people will follow different, you know, other similar, similar plans or paths. But what I liked about Ninja was it did kind of really consolidate it and put it in very easy steps that anybody could do. So, we're definitely fans, and I agree with you. I think that can really make the big change right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think if you have, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, Hannah. Go, Larry. We want to hear from you. We're good.
Well, I think following up on Bill's comment, you know, what we've tried to do with Ninja is provide you with a system that'll give you predictable results. And if you, and the system basically is Ninja 9. And if you will work that system, you'll be on purpose. You'll get results. I agree with you also, Bill. If you can't do it all at once, start with the Ninja 5. Start with it takes 15 minutes in the morning to do the 5 daily habits. Just get started on the 5. Work into the others later. I think one of the challenges for, especially coming out of a very transaction-driven market that we've been in over the last basically 10 to 12 years, certainly the 2021 market, is that people got instant gratification oriented. They want instant mashed potatoes. They want the results immediately. And the Ninja 9, as I said, if you start today, it's like planting a seed, and it will start to sprout, and you'll have a harvest in 30 to 45 days. And you have to be patient, and you have to be willing to work the system and work it consistently and not give up, and it'll work for you. As we say, TSW, the system works if you work the system.
I think that's so good. And you said it, and it was just a small little nugget, but I think it's so powerful, and it took going through the installation for, I think, a lot of people to understand it, but your greatest source of clients is your current client database. And so I think people don't realize what a gold mine they're sitting on by just following the Ninja 9, but on people that they've already served. So let's just, you know, continue to serve the people that you have already, they already like you, they already know you, just stay in touch and have some conversations and send a couple thank you cards every once in a while.
Spoken like a true ninja.
That's right.
Thanks, Adam.
If you're gonna be their mortgage banker or realtor for life, you have to, you know, touch base with them sometime after the transaction.
But it does go back to what Larry said, where, you know, you got to go back to 2020, 2021. Like, you might not even know some people's first names at this point. Like, it was so crazy that it does take some time. Like Bill's sugar issue, going back and like really taking time blocking your day and going through your database and, you know, checking in. Cause I guarantee you're sitting on a handful of potential transactions through transactions that you've already closed within the past couple of days. And I had no idea people hated their house. I bought my house during the pandemic. I love my house.
Well, good. You know, I don't know. If you're familiar with it, but I'll make a pitch here. There is a group of ninjas on the Ninja Selling Podcast Facebook group, and that would be a great group to connect with. It's an online community. There's about 15,000 of them. I think 68% of them interact on a weekly basis, so they're very active. There was a post yesterday from a ninja. The question was, well, habit number 8, the 50 live interviews, you know, how do you really do that? How do you really call somebody up that maybe you did the loan for them 2-3 years ago, you haven't talked to them since, you know, how do you break the ice? How do you do that? And she went through some great scenarios. But one of them I thought was great. She says, get out of the house and go to stuff and network with people, you know, go to the whether it's church or the game or the party or the health club or the event or whatever, and just start connecting with people face to face again. It's really easy. And then just ask forward questions. You know, don't ask them if they want to buy or sell. Don't ask them, how's the family? How's business? You know, what are you guys doing for fun? You know, that's the fun part of this business.
Agreed. I feel like we could go on for 8 hours. Bill and I are the question king and queen, but we are limited on time. So I want you to plug Ninja. So for everyone listening, Larry, let everyone know, how do they get plugged in with Ninja? How can they find an installation near them? What resources do you have? Lay it all out.
You bet. Well, first of all, I'd recommend that you go to ninjaselling.com, and pretty much everything is there. There's there's information, there's videos, and so on. You mentioned the installation. That's a four-day course. Very transformational type of learning experience. All of the courses are offered there. You can go on, and we have quite a few loan officers that come through the installation. So it's oriented around real estate, but it's a great opportunity for loan officers as well, as you guys can testify. The Ninja Selling Podcast Facebook group is an online community of ninjas who help each other. You don't have to have been through the installation to be a part of that group. You can enjoy it. On the Ninja Selling website, ninjaselling.com, there's also click on Ninja U, which is our online learning platform. There's all kinds of, most of it's complimentary. Over half of it's complimentary. There's videos, there's interviews with ninjas, there's resources. There is a section of it that you can subscribe to if you want to, but most of it, over half of it is complimentary. So those are some resources that I would recommend.
And the resources are phenomenal. I mean, they really are. Well, we are, I cannot believe it is, we're recording on October 25th. It is already almost 2024. Yeah, 2024. Yeah. What is in store for Ninja next year? How are you all lending it forward going into 2024?
You bet. One other resource to mention is we have a series of business planning classes coming up. Mm-hmm. They're online, 3 hours. I conduct those. The first one is on November 1st. There's one in December and one in January as well. You can find that on ninjaselling.com. But I think, you know, to get to have a great 2024 really starts about the 1st of November, which is in just a few days, because there is a lag. Once you start your business plan, there's usually a 30 to 60 day lag to where you're, you'll start to see the business. And so if you want to have a great 2024, get started now and get your business plan together, start activating your business plan. That would be my recommendation for 2024.
So you're saying you don't get prepared for a marathon the day of the marathon, right?
Right.
I really appreciate you coming on today and just, you know, Ninja and everything that they've helped, you know, our company with and personally as well. So I'll let you close this out.
Yeah, no, Larry, we appreciate it. I hope you're open to us calling you for more episodes because I think this was fantastic. I can see one in the future on business planning and who knows what else, but we really appreciate you. We appreciate you getting up early. I hope you have a phenomenal time in Vegas.
Well, thanks again, Hannah. Thanks, Bill. Thanks for inviting me on your program and invite me back anytime. I love it. I'd love to be
great.
With you.
Thank you.
Thanks again for listening to the Lending Forward podcast powered by Atlantic Bay Mortgage Group. Don't forget to tune in next week and make sure you subscribe to our channel. Remember, we all play a part in lending forward. So go lend something forward today.